And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
Good morning and welcome back to the program. I'm Tiffany Bacon, and joining me is Marcos Mercado. We are talking today about dishonesty in marriage. We do welcome your calls at 215-263-1039. I'm going to get it together. Too many numbers in my head. 215-263-1039 and 1-877-995-7644. Marco, this is a very hot topic this morning. So much going on. We're talking about dishonesty in marriage, and some people are really looking for some strength from the Lord and finding scripture to support what it is they're feeling or going through.
That's true. You know, we're talking about marriage beyond the vows, but we get a lot of callers, so many, that talk about marriage before the vows. One gentleman, Bernard, I think it was, caller, he said, you know, even consider the vows. And that's so important. However, something that I've realized in all my years of counseling couples, trying to get them ready for that big day. And really, we're saying we get them ready for that big day, but we're getting ready for a lifetime together. Mm. And so this passage comes to mind, and as we're talking about this honesty in marriage, I want you to think about this passage. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" The Bible teaches that our hearts are deceitful. You know, in marriage or even prior to marriage, we always talk about, oh, you know, my heart, I want to follow the desires of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes our desires of our hearts are wrong, and they're opposing what the Bible says. So sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not. The Bible teaches that the heart deceives us, meaning we can't go solely on what our hearts think. Oh, that's the perfect man, or that's the perfect woman for me. No, you got to take a step back. And I think that's when it's so important to pray, to read your Bible, and to have people in your life that will tell you the truth and then be willing to listen to it, not just asking for input and trying to get the input you want. In some of these cases, you need to ask some people, you know, is this really the person for me? What do you think?
Right.
Tell me what you think of this person. Tell me what you think of their character. Tell me what you think about what kind of marriage you think we're going to have together, you know, after the vows.
Right. And you know, as a single person, I'm always going to ask questions in terms of the preparation for marriage. But I wanted to start off with a question about if you're a little concerned about your powers of discernment, if you're not sure, if I ask this family member, this person, you know, I might trust them, but I have two people that I trust that have two very different opinions about this. Where then do I go? What should I do? And if I'm not necessarily getting a clear answer from God, what do I do?
You know, the Bible says in Hebrews that consider your leaders and the outcome of their way of life, imitate their faith. And so my encouragement to you is not just listening to someone, but listening to someone that has a great track record.
Meaning,
if you're asking someone and they've been divorced, maybe they're not the best person to give you the input.
Okay.
Now, maybe they've learned from their mistakes and that's fine, but it's a lot more powerful if you talk to someone who's been married for 20, 30 years and they've made it work and you admire their marriage.
Okay.
You know, it's exemplary and you're like, that's what I want. Because anything in life, you know, if you wanted a great career, what would you do? You will look for someone that's successful in their career. If you want someone who's financially savvy and they've done well, well, you're not going to get input about finances from someone that's bankrupt. I mean,
right.
I don't think.
Right.
I hope not. You know, you wouldn't get input
about
how a career.
Not to get bankrupt.
Well, not tell me what you did so I won't do that. You know?
Right.
No, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't go to someone, you know, get input about a career and they're unemployed. I mean, you know, it's not that their input doesn't matter, but weigh it out and say, wait a minute, this person really has. And then hopefully the person gives you input and they bring you back to God in the Bible.
Right.
You know, and I know, you know, that can be, you know, objective and you can say, well, wait a minute, you know, you use this passage but trust. And the Bible says with many advisors, victory is sure. You don't have to listen to just one person. You can get 10, 20 different people to tell you, obviously, if they love you and love God.
Right.
And then from there, you will be able to have a different assessment, a different point of view that you perhaps didn't have. You know, I tell people all the time, even if you're not a Christian, there are going to be people in your life that God would use to tell you, don't do it.
Right.
you know, because they love you. And now, obviously, if you have God in your life and you want guidance from God, even more, you should be more attentive. You should be really open to the input. And it doesn't work. One of our previous callers mentioned that sometimes we think we can change the person.
Mm.
That's such a mistake because, you know what? God can change everyone, but why not wait till they change before you make the vows?
Right, right.
What's the rush? Now, here's the thing. You know, I know God is going to work. Well, let him work.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that's not wrong. That's not faithless. That's called wisdom, discernment. You know, you're talking about building a lifetime together. And Luke talks about building and sitting down and estimating the cost before you build.
Right.
And Luke 14. So what would you do if you're talking about building a marriage together? Mm-hmm. Is sitting down and say, okay, what is it going to cost? Wow. This is going to be expensive. And I'm not talking about the wedding expenses.
Right, right.
But this is going to take, you know, in some cases, you might have to put your dreams aside. In some cases, you might have to, in every case, you're going to have to put yourself aside.
Mm-hmm.
Because in marriage, you if you're selfish, you're going to kill the relationship.
Mm.
So you're going to have to consider your spouse's needs above yours. So there's a lot of things that you need to count the cost. That's why premarital counseling, especially biblical premarital counseling,
right,
is so not just important, I believe it's essential.
Mm. Also, in the question of dishonesty in the marriage, if you are preparing to get married, say you're in a, you have a fiance,
okay,
and you realize that you're being dishonest with yourself,
okay,
how can you overcome that? And does that mean if you're being dishonest with yourself, you're going to bring that dishonesty into the marriage when you do walk down the aisle?
Sure. And when you mean dishonest with yourself, in terms of what?
About anything, really. You know, if you know you're hiding things from other people,
okay,
if you know you are not owning up to something about yourself, is that pretty much the telltale sign that you're going to be that way in the marriage? And should you go through the process of getting past that before you get married?
Yes. You know, the Bible is so interesting. It gives us sometimes just one story that we can focus on. And then I believe God leaves it up to us and our imagination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the very beginning of the show, we focused on this theme scripture from Acts chapter 5 about Ananias and Sapphira.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't really say much about what they were like prior to marriage, but you can see that there was definitely, not just definitely, but there was deceit in their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And it was both of them. And it really started with the husband. You know, it's actually the opposite or the flip side of in the beginning in Genesis, you know, chapter 3, where, you know, Eve was the one that was deceived and then she deceived the husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this case, it was the opposite. It was the husband. He was deceitful. And, you know, his wife knew and she didn't do anything about it. And so whatever type of deceit it is, whether you're deceiving yourself, you're deceiving other people, or there's deceit in the other person that you're looking to get married, you know, deceit never works. I mean, it's just God hates it. And so you can't help someone who's dishonest.
Mm.
Believe it or not, you know, and I'll say that again. You know, God can help anyone, but you can't. And God even himself would not help someone that's a liar. And you ask yourself, well, why? It's because, you know, if you take that same concept and you bring it to the, I guess, the medical world, you know, if you go to the hospital and something's hurting, you go to a doctor's appointment, you're aching, something's wrong, but you don't tell him. You don't tell the doctor. He's not going to know. And it's the same way. You know, God, unless you bring it to him, not that he doesn't know, but you're not even going to be open to the solutions, and then people won't be able to help you if you're not honest. Because what happens is people won't even know. Wait a minute. You have a problem with pornography. You know, you have a problem with, you know, debt. And you have all this hidden debt, and then you get married, to answer your question, Tiffany, it's only going to get exposed at some point, because now your deceit is not just hurting you, it's hurting others.
Mm.
And prior to the wedding vows, you know what happens? If you're deceitful and you hurt someone, they pull away.
Right.
And they're, you know what? They just realize you're not good for them. Their relationship is not good. But once you're married, you're living under the same roof. Guess what? If you're lying about debt, it's going to affect the both of you.
Out. Right.
If you're lying about, you know, whatever, it's going to affect both of you. And so there's a lot more at stake. And so really the key is to be able to ask yourself the right questions and to be honest before marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it seems something so small, wait a minute, I didn't know that mattered to you. Well, just say it anyway. It's on your heart. You know that you're not being truthful. a lot of times, and hopefully we'll get into this, is, you know, we give into fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why we lie often, is because we give in to fear. We'll talk about that as well. But hopefully you can give us a call here. And, you know, the question we're asking is there dishonesty in your marriage? Are you honest? Is your spouse honest?
All right. Let's take a call. You are listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. Reach out to us at 215-263-1039. Also 1-877-995-7644. Denise is calling in from Charlotte. Good morning. You're live on the air with Marriage Beyond the Vows. How are you?
Good morning.
I'm great. How about you?
Doing well.
Awesome. Great.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I can barely hear you.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
We said we're doing well. Thank you.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Yes. What's your comment or question, ma'am?
You have brought out so many great, great points. I'm a second-time listener, and I just caught the program midway, but I know it's about dishonesty. But you just said something really critical regarding marriage, deceiving your own self.
Yes.
15 years ago, I entered into a marriage relationship with an unbeliever, and I had just got born again, but we lived together 2 years prior to me being born again. And I knew that it wasn't good, even though I hadn't heard the whole gospel and, you know, everything. I understood right from wrong immediately. And so I moved out, and then I married him. My deception was, well, I don't want to start over with anybody new. I already love him. I already know him. Even though I knew he was a womanizer and was cheating, I thought that I could change it.
Okay.
And you brought out the point that only God can do that.
That's true.
And I don't know what made me think that if God had not done it yet, I could.
Yes.
And when you deceive yourself in a relationship like that, when you purposefully become self-centered, because that's what I did, I wanted him. I didn't want to do anything else. I didn't want to do the will of God. I prayed, but I didn't wait to hear the answer. When you do that, you shortchange not only yourself but the other person. You don't give them a chance to be made whole by God. You don't give them a chance to be healed and changed and delivered. You take away from them time as well. And
oh, yes.
It, of course, did not end happily. He did exactly what he was doing prior to us getting married. I don't know why I thought the vows would make a difference to him, but they did not. And I ended up with a child from that marriage who now has no father. Well, she has a father, but not her father.
Sure.
God restored me. So for those who are divorced, God restores and revitalizes and renews. You know, he gives you a second chance, a third, fifth, hundredth chance, which he had to do for me. But prayer works.
Yes.
It's true.
Prayer works. I heard one of your callers say that, I don't know if she made the comment about praying and hearing what God had to say about it, but I remember asking God, after I had been cheated on about seven times in that relationship, I remember saying, okay, God, something doesn't feel right. Will you please tell me what it is? And I promise you, in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit himself said to me in my heart, what will you do when I show you?
That's good.
And when he did, I said, I will leave.
Yeah.
And people may find that hard to believe because your caller said, and the word does say that God does not, you know, God is not in divorce, lest it is. Jesus himself said it. It's in red ink. My pastor always says, it's in red ink, unless it's adultery. And all of a sudden, a cell phone that I had no idea he had began to ring. He wasn't at home, and five women called me that day.
Wow.
I packed my things, I packed my baby's things, and we left. And I've been restored, and God blessed me with a man of God who loves God first, who puts God first in everything, and I have a whole new life now. But first, it started with me, not his womanizing, but with my own self-deception.
Yes.
That is true.
Oh, wow. Denise, thank you for sharing that, and I'm sure your words have blessed somebody today. Thank you
so much.
for your call.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Marcos, we have to take a break for just a few moments, but we are going to return with the topic of dishonesty in marriage here on Marriage Beyond the Vows. We'll be right back after this.
And now. Back to Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
Thanks again for joining us here at Marriage Beyond the Vows. We definitely appreciate your calls and appreciate you listening. I'm Tiffany Bacon here with Marcos Mercado, and we are talking today about dishonesty in marriage. Again, we welcome your phone calls at 215-263-1039, 1-877-995-7644. Marcos, we have a caller calling in from Delaware. It's Demetrius, I believe it is. Demetrius, good morning. You're live on the air with Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Good morning.
Good morning. I guess I should turn my radio down.
Yeah, okay,
yes, please,
there you
turn
go.
Your radio all the way down.
All right, you're live on the air. Hi, what's your comment or question?
Well, I do have a question. I am trying to deal with dishonesty in my marriage, and my husband has just come back home. He left the house, and I'm trying to walk and I read the Word of God, and I keep things in prayer. But how do you, if you know someone is being dishonest, and he's told you that he wants to work in a marriage, but yet he can't do a simple thing as tell the truth as to what time he's coming home or where he may be, how do you rebuild that trust? How do you not comment on his dishonesty? How do you not comment and you know that he's not telling the truth?
Well, first question, and is it Demetrius?
Yeah, Demetrius.
Your husband. How do you know he's lying? Maybe it sounds like a stupid question, but how do you know?
Well, here's the thing: if I ask you, we're trying to rebuild trust.
Yes.
Hey, honey, how are you? Are you coming straight home tonight? Yes, I'll be straight home. And yet, he goes out. He doesn't come home until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
So, and I just know I just feel like he's lying. And
of
I am
course.
Trying to move past, I'm trying to see the good and move past the past, but it's been very difficult.
No, we agree. Now, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. If he's telling you he's going to do something and then he does this exact opposite, of course he's deceitful. But there's a few things you can do. First of all, and this might sound really, really simple, but some of our callers have mentioned it already, and they've done it already, mm-hmm. is they've prayed. Mm-hmm. And they've prayed specifically about this. I don't know if you have done this, but saying, God, I know he's lying. You know, please help me with this situation. Then the next thing after you pray, you need to confront the situation with humility. You mm-hmm. you don't, you know, just confront, what's wrong with you? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. With humility, you know, perhaps wait till the next morning and sit down and say, look, well, what's going on? You're telling me you want to work this out. You know, I love you. I'm willing to work with you, but you told me you were coming right after work, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, we can't do this. This is not going to work. And confront it with humility. And then the final one I would say is, you know, you have to make a decision what you can live with. And although God hates divorce, we've talked about this, and we say that on the show all the time, that it's okay to draw some boundaries, and it's okay to say, you know what, right now, you know, we're not going to live together. We're not going to be together. It's okay to separate, and it's a good alternative. Now, when you separate, the heart needs to be, okay, God, you know, I pray that we can get back together and we can do things the right way. But I believe that it starts like that. And in your case, it's pretty obvious. You need to pray about it first. You need to confront it with humility. And then you have a decision to make. But also not making a decision, it's only going to prolong the deceit is only going to prolong the hurt. If he's not changing, it's not like, okay, let me just give it more time. He's going to change. No, he's not learning the lesson. And so you have to do something.
And that's very helpful. I think the most important thing that you told me was that I can confront the situation.
Definitely.
Because if I'm moving in love, and love never gives up, love always thinks the best, not the worst. And that's where I struggle at that confronting. Do I confront? Without, you know, getting an attitude and having a peaceful and gentle spirit, how do I confront without and actually make a difference? So that was very helpful. So I can confront, but do it in humility.
Yes. Ephesians 4:15. It talks about speaking the truth in love.
Awesome. Demetrius, thank you so much for your call, and we hope we were able to be inspiring and helpful to you this morning.
No, you really were, and I thank you. And I listen every Saturday morning. So when I actually got through, I was very, very thankful. So thank you all, and I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you, Demetrius.
Okay. All right. Have a good one.
You too, thanks.
All right. We have Minister Wallace calling in from Charlotte. Good morning. You're live on the air with Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm blessed, honey, favorite.
Awesome, awesome. What's your comment or question?
My comment is just to speak a little bit about the young lady earlier about the alcohol situation.
Okay.
And the young man named Bernard, he's a very wise man. I enjoy his what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was fun.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
All right.
Amen.
All right. Thank you for that. Thank you so much for your call, Minister Wallace.
And that some people that put themselves in positions that they are in because they don't ask God to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's true.
They don't ask God for direction and understanding, because if you are seeking a marriage, a person to be married with, then you should ask God to send him or send her.
Mm-hmm.
The person that you desire, and you have to be precise in what you're asking for, because when they come, you'll know, because you know what you asked for.
That's true.
All right.
I wish you, and I continue to bless you, because it's a broadcast. I appreciate you.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate your call, and we appreciate your comments this morning. All right. Have a wonderful day. Thank you. Bye-bye. We have C. Douglas calling in from New Jersey. Good morning. You're live on the air with Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I've found that your program has become a good habit on Saturday morning. Thank you for your discussions, and thank you for the topic. I'm sure it touches everybody in relationships, having adults to talk to. But I don't have a serious problems in relationships. The one I'm in now is after the marriage. Specifically, I'm soon to be divorced.
Okay.
And I found that, you know, the answers were revealed to me from the Holy Spirit, from God, from some supernatural way. I was given a knowledge of the way I wanted to live was different from the way I wanted to be married. So I got out of it, left, got my clothes, toothbrush, and whatever else have you. But that was one of my concerns, that after the marriage, I found myself in a relationship. I wanted to be somebody's husband, somebody's father, somebody's grandfather.
Okay.
And I haven't yet had the chance to propose, to remarry. And the young lady who I care so much about, I think has been a gift from God. And she has a family and has been married. But I don't know if that's the next step for me. And though it seems as though, you know, she's the one. And I like her as well as I love her. She has brought a lot of insight and Christianity to my life. And I've been able to relive some of the things that I know are right from wrong. But again, I haven't married her, and our relationship seems to be in the sense of that we're playing house. We know what to expect from each other. We know how our lives will be for the remaining of the years that God will bless us with. So I'm concerned now that I don't have the kind of piece of paper that says I'm married to the world, but I'm married in spirit with this young black woman.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I should not. Should we just, you know, wait till I propose, wait till she proposes, or, you know, just be friends? And I'd like you to perhaps make a comment on that. And,
sure.
Thank you for taking the call.
Well, C. Douglas, right?
Yes.
Thank you for listening. And, you know, we like to keep it real here on the air. Where do you get the idea that it's just a piece of paper? I mean, where do you find it?
I was taught wrong. I was taught, you know, the American dream or whatever have you. white picket fence, you know, new color.
Sure. But you're if I get it correctly, if I understood correctly, you're not divorced yet, right?
Yeah, you know, it's been prolonged because I've had to deal with the way society, the law.
I understand. No. Divorce is messy. It's wrong. It's crazy. I wasn't even clear why you ended up ending the relationship, except you said you just packed your stuff and left.
Well,
but technically, you're still a married man.
I'm paperwork. Okay?
No, but how do you know you're not? But what about in the eyes of God? How come you're not married then?
In the eyes of God, I asked for forgiveness for what I had done wrong in the relationship.
Okay.
I asked to be revealed. I asked to signs, costs, anything that was in the world that would direct me to me being in the correct situation, the correct relationship with the woman that was for me, my rib. All of those questions that I asked and tried to answer on my own, I was, you know, just refused, rebuked, misled. Adultery came into play on her, which she admitted to, and things began to be revealed when I would pray on it, when I would just be alone and I would think about it, and then I would see things and I would hear things, and our discussions were of a ending nature. And so, you know, I made room for her to get healed, because I couldn't, both of us couldn't be healed from something that was within our home, the poison and the
Okay. That's very understandable. But what I'm trying to bring it back to, biblically, you know, the Bible talks about in Romans 13 that you obey the authorities, that in the eyes of man and of God, you're still married. And God is so powerful that if he did not want you together at this present moment, he would open the door and you would be able to get divorced. But there's a reason why he just hasn't done that yet. And a concern that I have, you know, again, I do appreciate your honesty and your openness here, but I also take it that you're calling and you want us to tell you the truth. Is it sounds to me that you're making a huge mistake, and even in moving forward when you haven't closed a certain door, like you're opening another door and you haven't closed, or God hasn't closed a previous one. And here you are now in a relationship. You're saying you love this woman, and yet you can't offer her what God says you should offer someone you love, which is a commitment and a vow for the rest of your life. You're not even in a position to offer that.
Right.
And
I see. Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? I guess I'll call you C. Douglas. It's you got to start by being honest with yourself. Who do you have people in your life? Do you go to a church or someone where you take input, biblical input, from other people in your life, other men in your life?
I try to pray and have discussions of heavenly nature, of gospel nature, of spiritual nature every single day. And sometimes I seek it before I even say hello to a neighbor or to a stranger or to a coworker. And those are indications to me that I'm getting closer to God, what my destiny is, where my happiness is, because of the discussions and the context thereof. Those things were not possible. They were not accessible when I was married. And in my attempt to do those things, it was revealed to me to continue doing that. And the people that were listeners or people who would share in prayer or praise God at the drop of a pin or a drop of a hat were the people that I tried to line myself up with. Those who didn't would walk away. As I did in my relationship, in my marriage, I walked away, and I prepared for it in a verbal way, in a spiritual way, a physical way, a financial way, all the ways and resources that I had that would make, you know, as a parent to my son, to my stepson, I did all of the things necessary, I thought, to make closure on my end. Now, again, the system in dealing with divorce has paper trails. There's that paper again. And
paper is good.
Her blindness, she, in my opinion, one of my opinions is her blindness steered her in the direction to use that paper trail as to its extreme in order to keep connected in one specific way, which is financial.
And see, we're not, I'm sorry to interject you, we're not even going to just talk about her. I mean, she's not on the air. She's not the one called. She can't defend herself. You keep saying something about it's just paper, it's just paper. I mean, paper's good. The Bible's written in paper. I mean, there's a reason, see, and I hope and pray that you would listen to this. It's hard to listen to when you're talking. You know, you can't do both. You can't listen and talk. Mm-hmm. So we've listened, but I hope and pray you listen. And also, if whether you do or not, that's your choice. But I'm praying that even there's some listeners out there who really take the time to listen to this. It's not a good situation. It's wrong. What you're doing is wrong. You're not married. I mean, to this woman, you can't marry her. You're still in a previous relationship, and you want to say it's on paper, but in the eyes of God, you're still married. In the eyes of the world, in everyone's eyes, you're still married.
Well, then, if you're so, which I'm listening, if in that avenue, God is perhaps giving you the information to tell me, or the Spirit to tell me, what then is complete or unconditional divorce.
Okay. Well, Matthew 5 talks about that. It talks about the adultery, and it says that Moses even allowed them to give a certificate of divorce.
Primary case.
Hold on. See, Douglas, hold on.
There you go. You know, it goes back to, you know, having that certificate of divorce. Now, here's the thing. God is sovereign. I mean, you trusted God in the first place, or maybe not even God. You trusted men enough to go before a priest or, you know, a minister or, you know, a judge to get that piece of paper in the first place. And then that same system that you trusted in to get married, you're saying now it's flawed and it's failing you. Well, God is bigger than the system. And if God wants you divorced, which it sounds like you're going through the process, I mean, eventually you will be. But to open a door, what I'm saying is wrong. Is we don't have the time. This is not a counseling session, so we don't know all the reasons why, you know, your first marriage failed, and you mentioned that there was infidelity there. So it sounds like you have an outlet. But to start dating again and to get involved in a relationship when you can't offer what God says you should offer, which is a commitment for a lifetime commitment through marriage, it's just wrong. It's not even fair to your partner. It's not fair to this woman that you're saying you love because you can't marry her. And I tell you, I have kids, and I mean, especially my daughter. If she was dating a guy who was married, I don't care if he's been separated for years and he's still married. I mean, no way. Yeah, I mean, there's
she
no way.
Still love though. She still has the ability to love.
Sure.
She knows God. If I know God, then that is one of the primary blessings that.
But you're not divorced.
That I learned.
You're not divorced yet. You're still married.
I shouldn't stop loving or feeling love or.
We're not talking about love. We're talking about marriage, the vows, the commitment. The program is we titled Beyond the Vows. You can't even make those vows. You understand? You can't even go before God, before a minister, before anyone, and make vows to this woman. Because you still have pre-vows that are still pending in all reality.
Right.
And see, Douglas, I hear you have a lot going on with you, and there and you need more counsel and more conversation on this. Marcos, if you could just give him a scripture so that he could work with that scripture. We are going to have to move to the next caller who's been waiting very patiently.
Matthew 5 is a great scripture. And also, see, Douglas, feel free to email us. For yourself and our listeners as well, beyondvows@gmail.com. We can stay connected. Maybe we can, you know, communicate through some email there as well.
All right. And we wish you the best. Thank you so much for your call.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. That's definitely a difficult one. A lot of people are, you know, possibly in that situation. And then if you're, you know, looking to get into a relationship with someone, that's an issue.
It is.
That's an issue. It is an issue.
Well, you know, Tiffany, we divorce is messy. No one likes it. I mean, God hates it. Mm-hmm. It's necessary sometimes. And when there's infidelity, it's allowed. It's permissible. It doesn't mean that it's God's perfect will. God's perfect will is for two people to commit their lives to each other, be faithful to each other. But when you break that vow or those vows you made, then God does allow an outlet. And that is the outlet of divorce. You know, he knows that some people just can't handle living that way. And you know, it's somebody broke, you know, the covenant, the covenant of marriage. And so what ends up happening, it just drives me insane when, and maybe I sound a little emotional about it because drives me insane. You know, people, when they want to get married, they're willing to do whatever. Oh, right. Yeah, sure, I'll take the counseling. Oh, let me sign. What do I do? Okay, now we're married. Happily ever after. But then when it comes to, you know, trusting the system that they entrusted in the first place, then they're like, oh, it's just a piece of paper.
Right.
No, I mean, pieces of paper are very good. You know, if you would you just go ahead and put your money in the bank and they don't give you a receipt? You know, would you trust it? Would you not sign a contract for a home, a car? You know, it's the same. And you would trust a piece of paper. The Bible's written in paper, you know, so right. A certificate of divorce is so vital because it's saying, okay, now it's official.
Right.
And I know it might sound man-made, but God, again, in Romans 13 says we need to obey the authorities of the land. Right. They're there for a reason.
And then, like you mentioned, Marcos, for the other person, the person that is involved or in love with the not yet divorced individual, it becomes a painful situation and almost a catch-22 because you really can only go but so far until the divorce is final. And then that can pull on the heartstrings or cause a lot of pain for that individual if it doesn't work.
Well, certainly. Mm-hmm. And it is what it is. It's selfish. You're offering something you can't give. That's just not right. I mean, Tiffany, you mentioned you're praying for that man of your dreams. Mm-hmm. How would you feel if after you meet him, you fall in love? Oh, by the way, I'm still married.
Yeah, it's a hurt piece. It's a hurt piece.
Well, you know,
I'll
be divorced soon. No, I'm still married. You know, it's like, please, you know, just get honest. And, you know, we're talking about being honest. We're talking about deceit in marriage. It starts before the marriage. So if you can be honest before with yourself, with the person you're committing your life to, then amen. Then it can work.
Right. And then, again, like we mentioned earlier in the program, being honest with yourself, because even if you give the green light and say, yeah, okay, you say it's not working, you're going to get divorced, and you proceed, you're still allowing yourself the opportunity to be very hurt.
Oh, yes.
So you have to be honest with yourself and say, you know what, can I really deal with this? Or if not, you know, need to just walk right on away.
Amen. You're right.
This is Marriage Beyond the Vows, and we're here on your inspiration station. Praise your inspiration station. We are welcoming your phone calls, 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. We have an anonymous caller from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning. Okay. I have I have a comment.
Yes.
And I just want to give you a little history about myself. Mm-hmm. I am a married woman, and I heard Renee, and Marcos is dead on. You and Marcos are dead on when it starts before the marriage.
Yes.
Because when I was going I followed my husband to church. And I followed my husband to church, but they kept calling us Mr. and Mrs., but we weren't married.
Oh, okay.
And it was really vexing my spirit because I had to be honest, because our pastor thought we was married, and that was dishonest in itself.
Okay.
So pastor said either y'all had to separate or get married because we was living in sin. And so we wind up scheduling a date to be married, but we had premarital counseling. And all during the premarital counseling, every time it was time for us to go, he was angry. But see, that's that spirit of discernment, and it really upset me because he was angry and really wasn't participating in those sessions before the marriage. And the day that we got married, something pricked me and said, why are you here? And see, that's that spirit that we quench.
Yes.
That spirit of discernment. The Holy Spirit actually spoke to me, but I did not know this until afterwards, that was truly God speaking into my spirit. And the things that I know now, I mean, now we're in the process of divorce. We've been separated for 5 years, but when I first went to see this lawyer, I asked her how long was this going to take. She said 3 months. I'm going into my second year. But you know what? I heard Renee and the caller before her.
Yes.
Just hold tight. And all it starts putting pressure on your mind. But God said if we keep our minds stayed on him, he would give us perfect peace. And that's the one thing that we don't do. We pray about things, and we're still trying to fix it. And it's not for us to fix people who are broken like we're broken.
That's true.
And it's just sad that we have to go through, and most of our marriages are under subjection only because that other person, that third person, or even our significant other, are so selfish, and they're actually walking in darkness, even if they say they know God.
Sure.
They're actually walking in darkness, but see, we have to ask God to take the blinders off of them. But it's not for us to fix, because we know our heart, and it sounds like most women take that vow, and there's some men that take that vow and that covenant so serious that when they see this happening to them, this just can't be happening to me because I'm a Christian, or this is, you know, I'm in the church. But God, I don't think God sees things as good and bad.
Mm. Oh, he does sometimes. God sees it as good and bad too. God can see things as good and bad. You know, one of the things you mentioned, and you said that you have to pray, God makes it clear, but you have to be willing to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I mentioned this scripture earlier. It says they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you refuse it, you know, it's clear. It's clear. In your case, I mean, here you have a man who, first of all, you knew your foundation wasn't God. You're living together. It wasn't sin. And then every time you're getting help, he was getting upset. Those are some major signs.
Right.
And the devil not just, was all in it.
Oh, of course, of course. And so, you know, it's not in the Bible, but I love this phrase, this little analogy a friend of mine once said. He said, marriage is like an orange. Mm. And we're like, okay, well, it's like when you squeeze it, whatever's inside comes out. And I tell you, whatever you see before, it's only going to be clearer later.
Mm. Exactly. And the thing with all these callers, they need to know is that no matter what we're going through, everything starts with us. Everything starts with us.
Yes. Thank you so much
everything
for your call,
sweetheart.
Everything
starts with us. And we have to be willing to take a look at ourselves and get into our mind and keep our mind stayed on God and what God's perfect will be for us, because these hurtful things, a lot of things we bring upon ourselves, but God is sovereign and he's merciful, and he will bring us through. In order to become, we have to go through.
Absolutely.
And I just thank God for everything that I've gone through.
Awesome. And I didn't mean to cut you off earlier, but we are going to have to move to the next caller because we're getting close to the end of the program. But thank you so much for listening and for sharing your wisdom with us.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a great day. We have Catherine calling in from Philadelphia with a comment or a question. Good morning. You're live on the air with Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Hi. How are you?
All right. Thank you so much. How are you?
I have a comment about the gentleman who was speaking about being married and moving on with another relationship.
Yes.
My comment is this. I'm more towards the woman that's in his life now, knowing that he's married. Mm-hmm. If you know God and you truly know the Lord, you would see a red sign right there, a red flag saying, you know, I'm not going to get involved with a married man. I know God, and I know that's not his will for my life. His will for our lives are to be happy and to live in abundance. I think that that's already a sign that, you know, she should honor the marriage that's still at hand. He's still married. He still has a commitment in the eyes of God to that woman. And until they are divorced, I believe that she should not have dealings with him until he is divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Lord, it says in the Bible that you will know them by their fruit.
Yes.
You know, the people of God, you know, how what you sow, you're going to reap.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it too many times, people that I know that have gotten involved with married men, and the men did actually get a divorce, and it turned into a complete tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to reap what you sow. If you're sowing bad seeds, you're going to reap a harvest bad life.
Catherine, we say amen to that.
Yes.
It's so amazing how that advice is so great and it's so simple.
And I tell you, I'm sure if it was about business and they were going to go into business or be a partner with someone who, you know, embezzled money or is in bankruptcy or whatever,
right.
I don't think someone would probably do that. But when it comes to marriage, oh, it's okay. And our hearts, again, in what we were talking about in Jeremiah 17, it's deceitful. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we it really takes a lot of work to lie to ourselves and say, no, it's okay. And you know, what we start doing and what the gentleman was doing, you begin to put out phrases out there that are not in the Bible. You know, you'd start saying things like, oh, it's just man-made. It's just, but it's like that was relevant before. You know, you just can't take those standards and just flip them now. And then now they're not important. And then if that's how you view it, then why would someone else want to make a commitment and make a vow or go into a relationship with someone you know that doesn't even honor that in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wait a minute, you weren't faithful or you know, you're not even devoted to God first and then to this person that God still has in your life. And then you're going to make a commitment to me? You know, no, I'm sorry. Not right now.
Right. Absolutely.
That is correct. If she wants to move on with him, she needs to wait until the Lord opens up that door. She needs to seek God for the right mate for her. Because, you know, God doesn't want us to be used. He doesn't want us to be hurt. And like I said, it's sad because of love. And when you love, sometimes you're blinded. But if you really know Christ and you really know him, then you would know that that is not his will for your life. And the reaping, you know, I'm a strong believer in you reap what you sow. I watched it with a girlfriend of mine.
Yes.
And she reaped all kinds of things, sicknesses, you know, I mean, many things she's reaped from this relationship. And they're not even together anymore.
Right. Absolutely.
So
Catherine,
I pray for them and I pray for him to get revelation from God. To really show her and show him the will that he has. And I also pray for their marriage.
Yes.
I pray that the Lord can restore
what
the enemy came in and took from you. He can restore it. He's not a failure.
And you have to allow him to do it.
Lie. His hand is not too short that it cannot deliver. He can do all things but fail.
Right.
And that is trusting God.
Catherine,
we say amen.
Yes.
Thank
amen.
You. Thank you. And we have to actually close out here. I want to close out really quickly, Tiffany, here with
thank
this
you,
scripture. Thank you so much to all our callers and even all our listeners, if you didn't get a chance to call in. You know, we talked about deceit in marriage, but there's good news. And I want to leave us on a good, positive note.
Yes, indeed.
This is the words of Jesus. It says, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So we don't have to be enslaved. We don't have to live in deceit. The truth will set you free. So my brothers and sisters, listeners, thank you so much. Once again, please come back. We'll be back here, Marriage Beyond the Vows, next Saturday from 8 to 10. God bless you.
All right. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive day. Much love to Brett Chris, our producer, who always does a wonderful job. And we'll see you next Saturday at 8.